You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Open source software is something a lot of people understand, where the code for a program or an app is available for free to anyone who wants to make changes. When it comes to a defense against hacking, some engineers believe open source hardware could be a much needed tool against sophisticated attacks. Here to explain how that works is Joshua Pierce. He's professor of materials science and engineering and electrical and computer engineering at Michigan Technological University. Joshua, I think it's safe to say a lot of us don't spend a nanosecond thinking about just what goes into the devices we rely on, from our smartphones to our computers and so much more. So let's start right at the basics. How do you explain open source technology?
So open source just means that the code of whether it's a software or a hardware object is available for everyone to look at. And usually it comes with a license associated with it, which gives people the rights to use it in any way that they want, even sell it. But it has a viral component, which means that if you make a change, then you're obligated to reshare it with the rest of the world. And this method of technological development has been proven to be extremely good at driving innovation forward faster, which is why it's really beginning to dominate in the software field. Anything that you can think of. So supercomputers at this point are 100% running on open source. 90% of the cloud is, more than 80% of the smartphone market, more than half of the embedded systems, and most of IoT. So it's completely integrated into the software world. And what we're seeing now is that same sort of innovation and rapid growth is starting in the hardware world.
And just to clear up any misconception, open source does not mean free, right?
Absolutely. So it means that you're free as in like liberty to use it in any way that you can, but there are companies that make billions of dollars a year literally selling you software that you can download for free. But what they're doing is they're offering a service on top of it and a guarantee. And the same thing on open source hardware. There's lots of open source hardware out there, and you're technically allowed to build it and make it yourself. But in general, people don't do that. They buy the open source hardware, and they take advantage of having that knowledge of how the device or the system was made.
And just for folks who are kind of computer illiterate, break down for us the difference between the software and the hardware.
Software is, we're talking about purely computer code. In hardware, the documentation is similar. So, for example, you might have a CAD package, which is describing a three-dimensional object that is written in code, or it might be written more like a drawing. All the plans, the bill of materials, the electronic schematics, any firmware, hardware, software, all of it is available for free. The materials that go into it, or the knowledge of how to get to them or how to use them, is available for free. And so it's sort of like giving you the source code to design everything from a bed to a computer.
So give us a good example of how this could work, Joshua.
One of the best examples of open source hardware today is 3D printing, where 3D printing has been around since the 1980s, but it tended to be very expensive and only really available at major manufacturers and sort of the top universities. But then a professor in Britain open sourced the first 3D printer, and that rapidly pushed the cost down to well under $1,000. In fact, I built one even for $99, and the technical sophistication and the quality of the printers shot up like a rocket. And so now you can get a very good 3D printer for $1,000 or a couple thousand dollars. You can build one yourself for about $500, and it's all because of driving innovation forward much faster, because it's just not a single company with their group of engineers working on the problem. It's thousands of people all over the world, many of whom are professional engineers working on the problem. And that's sort of the secret that the software community has known for a long time, but now it's definitely infiltrating hardware.
And you've written a piece in The Conversation where you make the case that open source hardware, you believe, could be the line of defense against the next generation of hacking?
Correct. So recently Bloomberg ran an article where they talked about potentially Chinese government infiltrating many of the U.S. military computers and some of the Fortune 500 computers with a hardware hack. And the reason that's so scary is it doesn't matter what software you have on your computer. If someone has direct access to your hardware, your passwords don't mean anything. They can go right in and do whatever they want. However, if the same hardware had been open source, it would have been very easy to root out, because everyone would know exactly what went into the hardware, and then they could look at their own boards and be like, oh, this piece does not belong here. And that is one of the fundamental reasons why open source hardware can be more secure than closed hardware, because the customers actually know what they're getting.
And just how do customers know what we're choosing? How is it we know if we are choosing something based on an open source hardware system? Is it spelled all out there?
Yes. Yeah, so I think every single time someone is selling open source hardware, they actually use it as a selling feature because they want to encourage community members and their customers to give feedback rapidly so that they can make a better version the next time. Also, the Open Source Hardware Association has a kind of a status tag that you can put on something that says that the hardware that you're purchasing is for sure open source. Now, I want to be clear, just because something's open source doesn't mean that it's inherently more secure. What makes it more secure is that people can look at it and test and make sure that it's more secure. And so maybe the easiest way to think about this is to think about a safe. If you were a secret agent and you had some really important documents that you wanted to keep secure, you could either put it in sort of a proprietary safe where you would have to trust that the company isn't going to let burglars or whatever get access to the details in order to be able to get into it, or you could trust in an open source hardware company making a safe where they're telling everybody exactly how they make it. Now, basic intuition might say, well, then the robbers, the thieves might also then know how to break the safe. But along with the robbers and the thieves, you also have the entire rest of the engineering world working on making sure that that's safe. And so for me as an engineer, I would feel much more comfortable putting my documents in a safe that I know exactly how it works and it's been embedded by nonprofit groups. And even if I couldn't vet it myself, I could perhaps hire someone to vet it for me to ensure that it was safe and secure. And right now with proprietary hardware, we just don't know whether it's secure. It might be. Hopefully it is. With open source hardware, we have the best possible chance that it is actually secure because the entire world has their eyes on it.
So you contend this open source hardware would really be a good line of defense against this sophisticated kind of hacking like the one you cite with China and companies like Amazon and Apple, as well as the U.S. military and the CIA. How close are we to being at that point?
We're maybe 15 or 20 years behind the kind of development of open source hardware as compared to open source software. Both fields have been growing exponentially, but to this point, open source software has basically saturated the entire market. Open source hardware is not small anymore, but it's still much smaller than software. But it's moving quickly, and it's moving on every scale. So there's microchip manufacturers, there's electronic boards, there's even open source computers now. So this is all coming and will be available to consumers very shortly if their devices that they're interested in aren't already open source.
Joshua Pierce, professor of materials science and engineering, as well as electrical and computer engineering at Michigan Technological University. And you'll find his piece about open source hardware at theconversation.com. Thank you so much for speaking with us and sharing your thoughts with us on Stateside.
Thank you very much for having me.